Slack and Cherry Studios, where we alter your local CLAs by forming the synapses and confusions in radio waves. This warms your brain to a toasty and daisy 365 degrees Fahrenheit. If you keep a sinful estateism out of your head, can you feel it, Jim? Can you feel it, Steve Miller? Can you feel it, Michael W. Dean?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was impressive. That was like one of those legal disclaimers. You know, sometimes they have an ad, a 30-second ad, and they have like 60 seconds of legal disclaimer that they squish down to 10 seconds at the beginning of the ad.
May like, cause leprosy or death.
Yeah. anal leakage. Yeah.
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. It allows reuse and use by anyone except state governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Wow.
And of course, Jim Jesus.
Jim, you actually sound like you were digitally sped up, and you're like, that's great.
Until you took a breath, it really sounded that way. So, speaking of Bernie Sanders, so Steve Miller made a meme that we talked about recently that had a quote about psych meds and attributed it to Bernie Sanders. But it was actually a quote from the Unabomber. And this thing went viral. How many shares of it did you get from directly from you? Not counting, you know, what you can't count of other people.
We're at 12,000 right now.
You're at 12,000. Okay. And this actually made PolitiFact, right? Which is, what is PolitiFact, James Babb?
It's some kind of thing that like does fact checking. Like evidently somebody's like, let's fact check this, and the meme scored a pants on fire.
That's good. And you didn't set out to do this. Now I want to say a little bit about meme production, and it's actually something I made up before memes were really a thing. I made this up early in the internet. It was a saying. It was, do everything you do as if it's the only thing you'll be remembered for. You know, and think about, like, someday Steve Miller's gravestone may say, here's the guy who made the Bernie Sanders Unabomber meme. You know, because he hit it out of the park. But you got to do stuff, you know, whether it's a meme or whether it's making a song or a movie or art or anything that you want to spread, you have to make it clear and concise. I mean, I guess there's art that has, like, muddled, spooky, weird lyrics that you can smoke pot and listen to, and it has different meanings. But I'm all for the propaganda. I only make art for propaganda these days. And it's got to be transmittable from one person to another really easily without having to stop and think about it, even if it's wrong, like incorrect, like this meme of Bernie Sanders being misattributed with words from the Unabomber. Here's an example of tonight. I got an argument with some fans and friends of ours. Like, they were sharing this meme, and I was like, no, you're doing it wrong. So it was this meme. It was that dog thing. There's it's a three-panel dog, cute dog chewing on a stuffed toy. And, you know, you can put your own words on it. So meme macro. So the top one, the dog saying, what's the difference between Barack Obama and Timothy McVeigh? The middle one says, Barack Obama bombed people who were useful. And then the dog smiling. Okay. There's so much wrong with this, man. Let's pretend for a minute that, you know, it's a moral thing a morally good thing to make memes about murdering people. I don't think it is. I don't think it's, well, words are words, but, you know, I don't think that's the answer. But if you did think that, which these people who are sharing it thought that, Timothy McVeigh killed kids. You know, he blew up a IRS building, but there was also embedded innocence, as, you know, corrupt people often do, embed their innocence. And he killed like 19 kids. You are never, and, you know, then and then they started arguing with me like, well, that's the official story. I don't really believe that he had anything to do with it. First of all, that's not going to have any effect on anyone you're trying to win hearts and minds of with this meme. Second of all, you know, then people were saying, well, everything the government does kills children. And I'm like, that's too much information for a meme, man. Memes should be bumper stickers. They should be, you know, one thought with an answer that, like, stupid people can get what you're trying to say. And these people are just fighting with me of like, no, this is a good meme. And I'm like, dude, it's a horrible meme. You're making a meme that says, my guy, if anyone's crazy enough to say Timothy McVeigh was their guy, I wouldn't. But, you know, they're saying, my guy only killed tax collectors. No, he killed tax collectors and 19 babies and toddlers and children, you know? You have to be, even if you're going to be as radical as making a meme like this, For Timothy McVeigh, never the guy to hitch your wagon to, first of all. Second,
yeah,
of
you
all,
know what it would be better for? Not Timothy McVeigh, more like Eric Frine. There should be an Eric Frine
meme. Who's that?
The guy in Pennsylvania that went on a he just took some shots at some cops. He killed a state trooper. Controversial. It would still be a very edgy meme, but this guy actually, you know, went to war with cops, like, legitimately.
Yeah. See,
I think the guy to tie your wagon to would be Dorner. He's more interesting, and he had really good taste in stand-up comedians.
Michael, too soon? I think you did have really good taste in stand-up comedians, but Michael, if you had a problem with these people's meme, you should have done what the Bernie Sanders supporters did and threatened to report them to the Being Liberal Facebook page.
Yeah, no, I just argued with them. I just argued with three people for like an hour on Twitter, you know, 160 some characters at a time until my brain was going to explode because I wasn't winning their hearts and minds. And I was like, wait a minute, in 3 hours, I can go on the radio and talk to 50,000 people who can't talk back. I'm just going to save this.
Yeah, but and not just that. That's the husky joke dog anyway, and the whole point of that is supposed to be a terrible pun. Like, there's one I'm looking at right now. It says, "Why does Waldo always wear stripes? Because he doesn't want to be spotted." And then it shows a dog having like this big happy s eating grin on his face, and that's supposed to be the point. Yeah, it's supposed to be a bad joke.
It's supposed to be a terrible pun in the sense of something that makes you go, ugh, not in the sense of something that makes you go, you child murderer. That's not the same kind of horrible pun we're talking about here.
Right,
man.
So it's, okay, so it's wrong murderer and wrong meme, okay?
Yeah. But and, you know, like, not everything I make hits it out of the ballpark, but I've made, you know, videos that have 500,000 views. I've contributed and written for videos that have over 1 million views. I'm now a part of Steve's team. I'm gonna hop on Steve's coattail, and even though I had nothing to do with this, I'm gonna say I'm on the team that came up with this Bernie Sanders.
Hey, well, you know what?
I know memes.
Yeah, let's remember this is a teaching hospital. Steve Miller. What is your prescription to improve the memes? Okay, let's give out some helpful advice to these young up and coming meme makers. Memesters. They want to be edgy. They want to be cool. What can get them a pants on fire rating?
So I'm going to give out some advice that I ordinarily charge money for in workshops.
Yeah.
To teach people how to make memes. And that is, you need to download the two following apps and have them on your phone at all times. One is called Meme Factory. If you need to make a quick meme, like just a top caption, bottom caption, Meme Factory is where it's at. There's another one called Pixlr, P-I-X-L-R. It's a great, great app. You could do all sorts of like great little photo things for it. This is for more advanced, next level kind of memes. And then the next thing is practice makes perfect. You know, I didn't get to become one of the greatest meme makers in all the land with shares upon shares upon thousands of shares to my name just by sitting around and not making memes ever. No, my thumbs have this twitch because I've gone 48 hours because I haven't had a phone and I haven't made any memes.
Which we're going to get to. Your phone, you got your, we'll your wealth redistributed. Bernie Sanders reached down and gave your phone to a less fortunate person.
He sure did.
Can I ask the race of your mugger, or is that racist?
You know, it makes you just like everybody else in Philadelphia, which I think is one of the worst insults you could give to anybody. But he I couldn't tell, actually. And it's not I don't see race kind of thing. It's a he could have been a light-skinned black, or he could have been Hispanic kind of thing.
Oh, okay. I thought he was just dirty wearing a hoodie.
He was also wearing a hoodie. So, and he also had a gun.
Okay. He had a gun. Okay. Are you done with your meme advice? I didn't want to take you off that. It was good advice.
Yeah. You got meme more? Factory, Pixlr, and practice. Cool. Basically, those three things. And timeliness. And first, also be quick on the trigger.
And your first 1,000 memes probably wouldn't go anywhere. They're just practice.
Yeah.
You know?
Every meme is practice where we're going to go. Bless your meme grind. That's the thing.
So wait, you have a computer, but you're one of these young kids that do everything on your phone. Like, we couldn't contact you because you didn't have your phone. Like, you weren't checking email. Like, do you have to dust off your computer or something?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, Mike.
God, I don't even own a smartphone, man. I have the Jitterbug, the one for old people that's just got big numbers on it. That probably, like, you know, if I don't if I don't come home for a day, it probably like starts flashing. You know, this is
now. Is that compatible with your life alert necklace?
Yeah. my Alzheimer's phone. Yeah.
I'm falling and I can't get up.
I got a phone and I can't get up. No, I turn my phone on like once every 2 months or something when I leave the house. So your mugging redistributed your wealth. And you had to go to the police for insurance purposes. Did they help you?
They did not. They were awful.
Well, they
however, surprised.
How'd they touch you?
Totally shocking. So I have a strict policy with Philadelphia government agencies of you annoy me, I annoy you back. And it took them 4 hours to like process an interview and
God,
et cetera. Because so I told them like, yo, I have iCloud. If you go ahead and like enter into iCloud, I could probably.
Did they look you, in like, your eye when you said that and say, no, it looks okay to me?
And I at
any point did they threaten to kill you? I guess that is.
The- no. <Yeah. laughs> No one threatened.
Okay.
Well, the mugger threatened to kill me.
But I mean, the police. Did the police show up? And did you have any pets that they wanted to kill? Or how does that work?
Well, you have to remember, I'm white and extremely non-threatening looking. For those of you
like
who are unfamiliar,
feet tall though, aren't you?
Yeah. So was that little 4-year-old girl they shot in the leg? Okay.
You look like Moshe Kasher.
Yeah, that 14-year-old kid whose scrotum got ripped off by that one female cop. He was pretty non-threatening looking too. But yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah,
I think he's right a little more radicalized now.
Yeah,
I think this is actually all for the better because look, he's part of the 1% of memers, and the memes need to be distributed evenly across all memes. And it is just totally unfair that he gets to have all these memes, and everybody should be able to go to meme school tuition free. That if I'm elected president.
We just gave out meme school tuition free here on the show.
Burbs.
This is all just Koch Brothers meme school stuff that I'm not interested in. No, I'll have no part in this. It doesn't make any sense.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Up with this campaign to locate his phone. The story ends up with this guy going to China to get his phone back, and they have like this welcome ceremony in the airport for him. and it turns out this big international, you know, like homecoming event, and where this guy gets, you know, meets his new friends in China and Rick gets his phone back. And anyway, I thought it was pretty cool. Are you going to get your phone back, Steve?
It's going to be exactly like that, except instead
West
of
West Philly,
you have to go to Jersey.
You have to go to Camden,
and you just say, "You know what? Keep the phone. It's all right."
Yeah. So what happened? Tell us about it. Why didn't you shoot the guy? Whenever I get mugged, I usually give the guy my wallet, and then I shoot him in the butt, you know, from like 20 feet away as he's running away, and don't kill him. I just ruin his life. Shoot him in the butt, and then I go over to him, and I pull out. I take my phone back from him. Take my wallet back. And, like, pull a dollar out of my wallet. I give him a dollar just for his troubles. And then I crap on his face and film it and then put it on YouTube. And then I shoot him in the kneecap and leave.
Nice. Links, bro, or it didn't happen.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. I want to make it clear that's a joke because that'd be illegal. And we don't do anything illegal. So why didn't you shoot the guy?
You would never take a crap on his face. That's going too far.
In his ear. Why didn't you shoot the guy, Steve?
Didn't have a gun on
you left it at home
at the time. Yes, it was.
Man, for all the discussion people have about like this caliber over that caliber for self-defense, it's like I'd take the 22 Derringer in my pocket over the 45 at home on the nightstand.
You probably have like a Derringer on your key ring, right? Like
I actually have a Derringer that I carry whenever I leave my room. Like if I have to go down the basement, you know, or if I go into the front of the house, I bring the Derringer. It's, you know how they say that a handgun is really, a sidearm is to fight your way back to your rifle. Well, my Derringer is to fight my way back to my sidearm, to fight my way back to my rifle. So tell us, I've been mugged twice. I was mugged in New York City buying heroin when I was there with my band recording with my Warner Brothers record. I wanted to be like a rock star, so I went down, tried to score some heroin at 2nd and B, got a knife to my throat. And I also got mugged in New Orleans just walking down the street. And the guy that I was mugged with in New Orleans was later shot and killed by like a 12-year-old kid who just shot him for target practice. Just for the hell of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That kid's hardcore.
Kid is
shot
hardcore.
Him in the butt?
No, but there's actually in the show Treme, that, you know, this came out decades later. There's a scene that's like really similar that really just unnerved me, because especially like the character that's getting killed for no reason is a really likable character. It's the one played by Steve Earle, and I've actually hung out with Steve Earle at an NA meeting, and I'm not breaking his anonymity because he broke it 50 times in every interview he gave. But it's like, you know how something like you see characters on TV and you're like, yeah, I relate with them, and like people think you're insane because you think you know the people on them, but I actually know him. I actually hung out for a couple hours and had a heart to heart with him. And his character is basically himself. So it's like this guy I know in real life is playing this guy that's a lot like the guy I know in real life in over two or three seasons of this show. And you get to really like him. And then he just gets shot in the face by some little kid for no reason.
Jeez.
It's unnerving, man. So how did it affect you getting a gun pulled on you? Did you have fear at the time? Did you have fear later?
Well, to begin, I am a former teacher in the Philadelphia Public Schools, so let's not make any pretense.
It's not the first time.
This is the first time I ever had a gun in my face.
Yeah.
Had a gun pulled on me by a parent during parent-teacher conferences.
Wow.
Yeah. So, not the first time having a gun pulled on me. In fact, in Philadelphia, it's kind of a standard form of greeting.
You should have taught at a Quaker school. That only rarely happens at a Quaker school.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're shooting all over yourself, Jim. Anyway.
Shooting all over yourself. Don't shoot yourself. All right.
Should.
So go on.
Should.
Shooting. Okay.
Shooting.
Let me clarify.
Yeah, that's allowed on FCC radio.
Yeah, should.
Yep.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, that's an AA expression. But anyway.
yep.
Anyhow, so I was leaving my ghost tour because I do ghost tours.
And, what does that mean?
I give a haunted tour of Philadelphia. If you're ever in Philadelphia, come take my ghost tour. It's a 90-minute tour.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Fun. It's you know, I get caught up into it occasionally, not as much as I used to, because then I just remember, wait, in a few hours I can go on the radio and talk to 50,000 people that can't talk back. That's a lot more satisfying than like arguing with one or two people on Twitter who are doing nothing but talking back. I was dealing with this guy recently who was yelling at me and Sheldon Richman. Sheldon Richman had said that Hillary Clinton had said something like, you know, gun confiscation might be an idea worth considering. and he was paraphrasing her. He wasn't, and this like inveterate liberal just started screaming at us, saying, "She never said that. Prove it." So I found the video, you know, in which she was talking about the Australian model. She said where they had a gun buyback, and then later, you know, the people who didn't buy back, sell their guns to the government, had them confiscated. And she didn't use the word confiscation, but like that's what anyone who knows that situation was. It was, you know, and he's like, "No, that's a buyback. That's not like the guy was trying to like be a grammar Nazi or a you know, like word order Nazi. Like crazy, crazy stuff, man.
Hey, the day Hillary will get more votes by saying, "I'm going to grab the guns," she will do that. Like, that's all she cares about. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. What did the focus group? The focus group said, "These are the words you can use," and that's what she says. You know?
I painfully watched that Democratic debate, and they had a segment where they were arguing about, I mean, like, who had the worst NRA thing, and they were bragging about who had the worst NRA grade. And I was just like, this is terrible. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm the biggest gun grabber. No, I am. I got the F.
Yeah. So tell us more about your mugging, and then we're going to talk about the 60s.
Sure. So I was finishing my ghost tour.
What is a ghost tour? Alley. You were explaining that, and we went to the ad, and we didn't realize it
because
we're too busy talking to talk radio.
It's a 90-minute-long tour. I tell haunted stories of Philadelphia. Most of them are greatly exaggerated.
Now, if you had died in your mugging, would one of your fellow tour leaders have rolled you into his tour as a ghost?
I would hope that not only would I be talked about at their tour, I would hope that I would be haunting every single tour.
Awesome.
Legitimately there.
They'd have to split the tips with you, though.
Right. Yeah, I don't work for free, even in the afterlife.
Beyond the grave.
Tin Stoffel. There's no such thing as a free afterlife. but I was walking down an alley that I'd walked down hundreds of times, and lo and behold, this chap pulls a gun. And he's like, "Yo, you know, give me everything you got." And I'm like, "Well, that's a phone and like $65. And they're Federal Reserve notes, and you can't have my Bitcoin wallet."
Did you say that to him?
No, I didn't say that to him.
You should have said that to him.
Because you could accept Bitcoin.
You could have just had him
accept Bitcoin.
You could have
I'd like to be the first mugger to accept Bitcoin. Let me show you how this works. Here. You have a smartphone on you. Here, get that out. We're going to download an app. And then
we're going to get blockchain.
Yeah. Airbits, man. that would have been awesome.
You know what? If you get the typical reaction, the mugger will run off screaming.
You probably could end up with the gun and your phone, man, if you just started trying to get him to get a Bitcoin wallet.
No!
As soon as you started to explain all the different wallets and all the different, you know, advantages and disadvantages.
And this is called the blockchain, and this is how it works. This is a distributed ledger, okay? And it's
pseudo-anonymous, yeah.
And the problem with being me and that I troll everybody is that, like, when something like this happens to me, the first thing people say is, like, "Oh, well, did you try talking to him about Austrian economics?"
You know, right. If you're not going to carry a gun, at least have some kind of defense ready.
I think you need to make that video, Steve. I think you need to write and make a 2-minute video of you being mugged and driving the guy off by trying to explain Bitcoin to him. Make lemonade.
All they have is Bitcoin.
I know you need money, but what you need even more is to read some Mises.
Like, okay, here, give me your email address. Well, you know, Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live, somebody broke into his house. Ian came downstairs in his underwear in the middle of the night one night, and there was a guy in his house, in his radio studio, like sitting at his and
he's doing spilled, a show.
He spilled beer on the mixing desk, and you know, like Ian didn't pull a gun on him. Ian didn't chase him out. Ian sat down and befriended him, and then friended him on Facebook.
And now he's a key member of Free Keen.
I don't think so, man.
We moved into Derek's old room.
Yeah. Right. So then what happened, Steve?
So then I go and talk to the people. So the alley's right next to this restaurant, and I go and I'm like, yo, can I talk to somebody from the restaurant? I'm like, hey, I just got mugged. And this woman freaks out and calls the police, and I'm like, oh, my night just went from bad to worse. Because here come the Philadelphia police, who are just the most incompetent people you could ever possibly
James
imagine.
Loves them.
Yeah, they're awful.
We get some good laughs out of them. Come on.
We do. And I do have to say, like, for all their faults, the Korean cop that showed up was so deliciously obese.
Wait,
I love
that's
that.
That's a delicious wonderful adjective. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like what I had for dinner and what I'm turning into because of, it's what I have for dinner every night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he shows up. He doesn't understand how like iCloud or GPS works in phones or anything like that. And
so how does it work? Like, can you pinpoint your phone if it's on?
Yes. It gave me the exact address as soon as I got home. I got so this happened at 11 at night. I got home at 3:20 in the morning, and I went online, and at 3:18, like, boom, that moment, I knew exactly where in Camden, New Jersey it was.
Why don't you just go over there and offer him $20 for it?
Because it's Camden. It's not worth it. It's not worth $20, you know.
Sorry.
$20 to buy the entire city of Camden would be vastly overpaying.
Okay. All right.
But actually, we should have just taken a posse over there. Just, you know.
Yeah, the Liberty Vigilantes.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Yep. Should have, woulda, coulda.
But anyway, so police. So you're like, here, cops. If you want to help recover my stolen property, here's where the stolen property is, and probably the person who did it interested. And they're like, nah.
What do they say?
They said nah. Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did you realize how much paperwork it is for us to go across the river? Like, no thanks.
But I would think that they'd want to do it because then they could put one in the win column without doing any brain work, you know? And they like pointing guns at people. It's like, it's a weird offer for a cop to turn down. It's, hey, you can go point a gun at someone's head and get kudos for it.
Yeah, but that person might have a that person has a gun and might shoot back.
That person's known to have a gun. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no. This is about revenue generating opportunities from defenseless motorists. Okay.
Also,
yeah.
I was calling about 20 minutes from shift change.
Well, I think you need to, you know, when we say negative things about some cops, cop lickers always say, well, who are you going to call when you get mugged? You going to call the cops or call a crackhead? I think at this point you should call a crackhead and say,
yep,
see that house? I'll give you 20 bucks.
I'll give you $20 worth of crack if you go in there and get this phone back.
If you just go running up into houses, kick that guy down and take my phone and the gun, and you can keep the gun too.
And frankly, if the crackheads had a 3-digit number that rivaled 911, I would give them a running shot.
Yeah.
Well, but, you know, there's a new
market opportunity. Crackheads, get on that.
There's a
it's
new
911 for the cops and 711 for the crackheads.
What's the one that Ian Freeman was googling about or tweeting about the other day? There's a because you know there was that thing that someone's trying to raise money for the Peacekeeper app, and like it's they've been trying to raise like six figures for like years and. But Virgil Verduga, is that how you say it? Has made like a beta of something that works, cell 411 for calling your friends and neighbors in an emergency. Why couldn't we just, he could add a crackhead number on there, you know, just call, like bid, it would bid to the highest.
Call
you know,
a
lowest,
crackhead app.
The lowest bidder crackhead in the neighborhood that will like, that, you know, you could rate them like you do with, Uber, you know, you would have ratings of which crackheads actually got the job done. And, you know, when your phone gets stolen, you can find the crackhead that'll do it for $40 worth of crack or $25 worth of crack.
Right, I'm going to need a crackhead deluxe for this one.
Yeah, or two crackheads who love running up in houses. Yeah.
The meth head is going to be necessary for this job. Yeah.
No.
The meth head will end up like stealing his underwear and shiny things, man. They're like crows or ravens.
The main reason I want the meth head app to come out is because I want my house to be spotless for very cheap.
No, they don't make it spotless, man. They fix things that aren't broken.
They dismantle the car. How many speed freaks does it take to clean an apartment?
I don't know.
One and a quarter.
Oh, okay.
All right. Womp, womp, womp. I want to go on to, you got anything else other than the incompetence of cops before we go on? Are you triggered? Are you harmed? I was harmed by being mugged.
Must have been rattling.
I was microaggressed. I'm not going to lie.
All right.
Must have been a rattling experience.
Yeah.
Sorry, I mean, it wasn't what I expect after a ghost story. Like, if this happened back in my normal, like, terrible neighborhood, like, it would be whatever. Like, that's a standard form of greeting here.
Right. This wasn't Kensington. This was, like, Walnut Street, right?
I know. Yeah. This looked like where you should be doing, like, a Founding Fathers tour. I looked at the neighborhood on the street.
That's exactly what was happening. Yeah.
Like Thomas Paine could have mugged you there.
Yeah, it was a real Thomas Paine that I got mugged. I don't have a phone and I can't make any memes. And Liberty's suffering because of it. Please donate.
Back. It suddenly puts you back to when America was good.
Yeah. Yo, tomorrow when my phone arrives from the insurance company, best believe that the first thing I'm going to do is get like 6 pictures of Bernie Sanders and 2 pictures of Hillary Clinton and just lock myself in a room for an hour and do nothing but let my thumbs do the meeting.
You can't do memes on a computer. I find it much easier on a computer.
Oh, it's the worst on a computer. Give me Pixlr. Give me Pixlr and give me my meme factory. My meme factory has burned down by being stolen by this man. And just like Hondo, like when his buildings got bombed by the Allies during World War II, I'm going to take the rubble of my meme factory and I will rebuild a mighty meme empire upon it.
Yes.
And I will be getting shares so voluminous it'll make the Bernie Sanders meme look like small potatoes. Believe me.
Well, can you get, do you have that app that like has a picture of the guy who stole your phone? Is it taking pictures as it works?
Only if he tries to use the code. Okay. And it didn't look like he tried to do it. It looked like they just turned it off right away.
All right. Well, we're going to go to the market here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about a movie called The Day the 60s Died. We're going to get kind of serious for a minute, but knowing this crowd, it won't be entirely serious. Worms and new.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
I think that went out on the air, but we didn't do it. We just said we couldn't do it.
There's nothing there to make fun of. We would never do that.
Freedom Beans. We're too busy talking to do talk radio. So we're going to go in the second hour. We're going to talk about the movie because it's more of a long segment kind of thing. This is a short segment. James wanted to know something about some music I recorded about 100 years ago. What do you want
to
know?
I was listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast, and after one episode, this sound started coming out of my speakers, and I couldn't quite figure out what it was. What was that?
Yeah, that's kind of the beauty of an RSS feed, is that once people subscribe to it, I don't like to abuse this, but occasionally I'll use it. I can put anything I want on there, and they'll end up hearing at least a few seconds of it before they turn it off. Yeah, I can hijack.
So what exactly was that we heard?
That was a demo tape of my band Bomb, recorded in 1986.
Okay.
At Hyde Street Studio in San Francisco. 3-piece band, Bomb. I sang and played bass. A guy named Tony Fagg played drums and wrote lyrics with me. And a guy named Jay Crawford played guitar and sang backup. And, that band was together 16 years and ended up getting signed to Warner Brothers and touring the world and elsewhere. But we even played Philly, played the Trocadero, if you know that place.
But nice. Psychedelic punk rock.
Yeah.
Kind of. Well, evidently you must have improved since this demo tape. I mean, I admit I only listened to it for maybe 30 seconds before psychosomatic deafness kicked in to protect me.
Really? But,
it was pretty bad.
You thought it was bad?
I kind of like things like intonation, and it was a little hard on my sensibilities there. So,
yeah, I think we're listening to different things because most everything's in tune and in time on that recording.
Jim, you know I love you, but sometimes you come off like such a Republican, and it's mainly in the way you dress and your taste in music.
I know. Well, he was in a world beat band too, but. Yeah. I mean, it's the thing is, like, Jim can have ridiculous taste in music, and it's kind of hard for me because with most people, I can say, like, yeah, well, when did your band tour Europe? And Jim can say, well, between the following dates and the following years. And I'm like, foiled. He's actually done something most musicians haven't.
I have played at the Trocadero, too, which is a great spot. But I used to live down the road from the Trocadero,
Were you warming up for a band who's called DOA, whose singer was named Joey, let's make this radio safe, Joey Poohead?
No, but we were doing shows. We were the headliners back. This was in the 90s. I had an apartment with a roof access, like a block away. And so we would do these after parties on my roof. You know, and like the goats would be in my room, like making blunts.
The band The Goats or actual goats?
I thought you were milking them for blood so you can do your little libertarian cult ritual.
this was the band The Goats, which were that was the 90s, I guess. So good times at the Trump.
Nobody's ever so openly and blatantly insulted me and denigrated my talent on my own radio show. It's
I complimented you because obviously you've made a lot of progress since that 1986 tape.
Well, do you know what the word demo means?
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, listen, the demo tape from my band in around 1986 would have included, like, I don't know, Journey and U2 and God only knows what horrible song,
really?
Or Rolling Stones. So,
That was before the world beat period.
That was like a junior in high school. So
I never played in a cover band. So I win.
There you go. Okay.
Yep.
When I started doing comedy, I did Christian comedy, and my Christian comedy is totally insufferable to listen to.
I want to hear it.
It's so bad. It's so, so bad.
Tell me a Christian comedy joke. Because you were a Christian, right?
Is this comedy for Christians or comedy about Christians?
So what I would do is I was opening for this Christian comedian named Bob Lentz. You can YouTube him.
Did your album go Murr?
did your album go Murr? Well done.
Spit it out.
So, yeah. I would perform at these youth conventions, and they would be jokes about middle school. And it would always crush. And none of the jokes were funny at all.
Tell me, any priest jokes? No pedophilia jokes?
I mean, man.
You know, some jokes have to be done through action. No, I'm just kidding.
Man.
But no, nothing like that. You couldn't be the slightest bit edgy at all. Like, very sanitized stuff.
I thought Christian... I've seen a Christian comic who is the slightest bit edgy. I don't remember. He's got blonde hair. He's kind of southern. You know what I'm talking about? He's the one. There's only one. Right,
the edgy Christian comic. Oh, that was kind of funny.
No, there's only one.
I played in a Christian band when I was like 15, Catholic CCD band. That was pretty funny.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is Bane. Do the intro. Where's my cup?
I need a dedicated Bane cup.
Okay, do it as Trump.
Oh, no, I have it now.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian... Korean re-education centers, low-orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza in Gotham, and the artificial satellite lit past 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. I believe that's where Gotham is. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, big government license. It allows reuse by anyone except non-government agents. You can learn more at biggov.org.
Yep. And when we left the last hour, we were trying to just remember who the Christian comic was. It's Tim Hawkins. There's one
of course
one comic. He is very, very, very slightly, you know, edgy. I liked how he opened his thing. He said, "I'm not afraid of death. Bring it." Well, not now. That's funny. I think that's funny, man. He's on stage saying that stuff. And let's see, then I was trying to decide what I was going to do to James for setting me up and jumping me when I thought he was going to. I decided, you know, I'm not going to do anything for like 30 years, and then I'm going to date and marry and breed with one of your grandkids that it doesn't exist yet. I'm going to join your family. That's how I'm going to get you back.
That's fair. I think that's fair. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, before we go on to this movie about the 60s, what did someone say to you, Steve, about your personal mugger?
They said that he was probably wrought with fear. Those were the exact words. And that if the schools were better and he had been given a better job with making a $15 an hour minimum wage. They didn't say that part. That part I'm just assuming. That he would have no reason to go around mugging people.
Or if pot was legal and they were being heavily taxing pot smokers to pay for more government schooling, he wouldn't have.
Or basically, whatever. What he's saying is that your friend was saying was that.
He or she, one, Jim, because
instead we wouldn't of want to, one. Instead of one mugging, one big mugging, you would have had thousands of micro muggings throughout your life. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
They want to redistribute the theft, which I'm going to call this episode Redistribution of Theft. I like it. It's catchy. But then I'll use a picture of Tim Hawkins, the Christian comic, and probably get a cease and desist letter. I don't know. All right. So, James, you want to do some redemption here in the first act, redeem yourself, and talk about this movie from the 60s? This movie that just came out, it's about the 60s. What's it called?
That was heavy. What was it? It was The Day the 60s Died. It's on Netflix.
Streaming, you can watch it now. It's about the Kent State shooting.
You know, and like you think you know of these stories because it's so like part of our culture and it's part of our mythology and it gets shared every year. Don't forget, you know, like, and it's part of all those memes that are going around right now. Like, well, when there was a school shooting at Kent, they didn't want to talk about it, you know, and or nobody wanted to take our guns at that school shooting. But there's so much more story there that I really enjoy just getting some of the background and just some of the feeling for the. What was going on? I didn't really. I think the level of protests going on kind of surprised me. I didn't realize like they had burned down the ROTC barracks at Kent State and stuff like that. It was a hardcore time.
Although to be clear, the National Guard and the people directing them were conflating a couple things because they. The day that they did the shooting, nobody was burning things. That was the night before. It was probably completely different people.
But it was still just kind of gave you like sort of the, I don't know, I guess some background to the story and the level of animosity and the angst and the frustration that those students must have been feeling.
What year were you born, James?
67.
67. I was born in 64. So I kind of remember Vietnam War on TV. Do you remember it at all?
It was over
by the time you could walk. Yeah. And there was something that I remember really distinctly about the coverage of it it's part of what made me anti-war, and being anti-war is the only consistent belief I've had my entire life. I've been anti-war since I was five, and no matter what other, like, I've believed like Bernie Sanders kind of stuff when I was a teenager, but I was still anti-war. The thing that kind of made me that way, And they talked about it in this documentary. I've never heard anyone else mention this, but they had a scoreboard on the news every night. It was like a football game. It was ours dead and theirs dead. And I was like, that ain't right. I'm five, but I can tell you that ain't right. And it just really resonated with me. And I also didn't know that the Kent State shooting had anything to do with the formation of Devo, and now I do. And that's the ultimate making lemon out of lemonade. And Devo, I really like them a lot, and one of them was going to school there and like witnessed this, and his reaction was like, you know, I was complaining about everything the government's doing, and people say, well, you complain, but what are you going to do? And so he was like, so I started Devo, you know? and I love Devo. I've always loved Devo. The first time I saw Devo was on Saturday Night Live in, I don't know, 78 or something, 77. I was like at boarding school in Pennsylvania and snuck up to stay up late and watch it. And it blew my mind. I was into like Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin and stuff. And there were these like weird guys in yellow jumpsuits with power dome flower pots on their head playing guitars really staccato and like, you know, guitars that had been like altered with power saws and things. And I was like, I don't know what this is, but I like it, man. I like it a lot.
Well, you know, here in Pennsylvania, we have a town called Devon. Okay, Devon. For 20 years, people were spray painting over the N of all the signs. I swear, 20 years. Like, every time you drive by, Devo.
Yeah, nice.
Maybe I ought to go out and just try to bring that back, to revive that tradition. Like, well, you know, died somewhere.
When I was talking,
are we not towns?
One of the things that made memes spread before there was the internet was memes that were so simple that anybody could replicate them. And anybody could replicate spray painting the N off a Devon sign. And another one I remember was the band Flipper from San Francisco. Their motto, like a lot of bands would pay some artist to make some great graphic for them. Search Flipper on Google Images right now, anybody who's near a computer. Flipper Fish. And like their logo is a stick figure. It's the word Flipper, and then like a stick figure of a fish with like X'd out eyes, like it's in poison water or something.
Yeah, and that Dead thing Kennedy's was, had, yeah, Dead was Kennedy's spray had painted that, everywhere. That little
DK. Dead Kennedy's had the DK thing too. Like that was the cool punk rock bands had like the easiest things to spray paint. Like you don't even need stencils. That's how memes spread before the internet. And that's something to remember too with spreading ideas. Is make it simple. Make it so simple anybody can draw it on the back of their notebook, even if they're not an artist.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was blown away too. Like in this documentary, The Day the 60s Died, learning that I knew that the National Guard had shot these four unarmed protesters. You know, they always say shot unarmed. So what if they were armed? If they weren't pointing a gun at anybody, to me, it'd be the same thing. But they were not violent. There were no threat, let's put it that way. So the National Guard shot and killed these four unarmed protesters. And, you know, people, like, were screaming about it all across the country. A couple things. One is the government. I knew that the government immediately, like, said, oh, the National Guard are not at fault, and like wouldn't even name a person. Like they didn't even know which person did it or claim they didn't. But I didn't know that they charged a bunch of students and said the deaths were their fault.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
I didn't know they did stuff like that back in the 60s. I thought that
was
new.
Stop resisting.
Yeah. And then it was really, really disturbing, like seeing the man on the street interviews with people who were like, I think they should have shot more people. That's what you get for, you know.
Yeah,
like,
whoa.
You saw it, right, Jim?
Yeah, some creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, you know, that like, was really kind of disturbing. I actually had to rewind that. I was like, did I hear that right?
Did I hear that directly? Yeah, it's like, you know, those ladies look like they're probably mothers. They probably have kids.
That's what he gets for selling unlicensed cigarettes outside.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Sometimes I just think we're doomed as a planet because of stuff like that. Yeah. I don't know.
Made me think about the differences between then and now, you know, and like how weak the anti-war movement is, but also how much better we have it. You know, it's like in a way that's like, you know, I mean, there aren't, you know, the National Guard's not shooting us, right?
Yeah,
as much as we think we have, we're having problems.
I think what it is they've really internalized that thing that I think came out of the Nixon administration. I don't remember who said it, but one of those goons said something to the effect of, I don't care what they protest as long as they pay their taxes. You heard that one?
Yeah.
And they said that back then, but they didn't really act on it back then. I think they kind of do now.
Well, and they've been evolving, too. You know, like they stop keeping score. right? Why give people to protest the score?
Yeah, like, you know, like they used to, they won't let them show draped coffins anymore, too. That's kind of the same idea.
I think they just lifted that not too long ago, didn't they? I think they lifted that ban because it was so egregious of a violation of the First Amendment that they said, okay, we can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But it's not exactly like they're going to tell you how many people that drone strike just obliterated. You know, they're not. It's not like that's going to make it into an official press release or how many people have been slaughtered this year or this month.
Yes. Only freedom fiends will tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people tell you that. Angela Keaton will tell you that.
But, I mean, it really makes me kind of, you know, I think so much of that 60s energy was against the draft. And I think when they got rid of the draft, it sort of pulled the wind out of the resistance there. So
Alexander Haig said, let them march all they want as long as they continue to pay their taxes. He was he a Nixon goon? I think he's White House Chief of Staff for Nixon and Gerald Ford.
Right. They've taken it to such an extreme that these college kids now are out there cheering for more taxes, right? Like, that's probably a typical, like, college attitude that I would see is like, yeah, we need to pay more taxes, you know?
Yeah.
So you can pay off my student loan.
So says people who've never worked a day in their life and don't pay taxes, but yeah.
One thing I've learned from my adventures with the Bernie Sanders supporters is that they're very much like the Christians that I used to run into when I was doing Christian comedy, except they've swapped out free college for eternal salvation.
Man, college
is... What's a better value?
Horrible. It's not worth
it. I mean, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, right?
Yeah. but college, I don't know. I went to community college, though, so it was pretty much free, and it pretty much sucked. Yep.
I've got Khan Academy. That's free.
Yep. We're going to break here. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about what's wrong with the world except for us.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons. And you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
So Steve Miller actually had his parents were at Kent State. Were they outside in that area when the shooting occurred?
My dad was. My mom was making cream of celery soup at the time because she was majoring in home ec, because that's how awesome. Midwestern my mom is.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. Kent, Ohio. Is it Kent? Is that the town?
That's the name of the town. My cousin graduated from there in 2003.
Yeah, that's kind of like the dead center of the Midwest. Not geographically, though, because the Midwest, like, I don't know, it's kind of weighted to the East Coast because of population. It goes all the way to, like, Minnesota or something. But really, when people think of it, Ohio, they're right. That's the dead center of it.
Yeah, Kent State is a very down-homey kind of place. It's a very classical Midwestern college town.
Cream of celery soup. Wow.
Yeah, and she never made it again after that day.
She should make cream of liberty.
I'm like, well, that's good because cream of celery soup is disgusting. So
something good came out of that event. Yeah.
Look on the bright side. My dad was not at the protest, but like not terribly far. He never talked about it. He died when I was 14. But yeah, I remember one conversation where my sisters and I were trying to get him to discuss it, and he was just like, nah. He's like, he was just not happy. He was a grizzled Midwestern dude. He was not gonna.
Did she make the soup from scratch, or did she use condensed soup? Or I need to know more about this.
Can you get her recipe for us?
Yeah.
So
too soon.
The last time she made it, four people died. And I don't know if that's on the ingredients list or
four dead in Ohio. I think Neil Young wrote a song about your mother's soup.
Yeah. Put cream into your celery. Add salt and pepper now.
Yeah. Tin soldiers and it's time for dinner.
Tin cans and open with a can opener, put it in a pan.
Nice. Nice. So James Babb. Did we lose him?
Yes. I'm here.
Okay. What was I gonna say? I was gonna ask your serious opinion on this movie anymore. What you got?
I recommend it. I give it two thumbs up. Check it out, okay. Netflix.
I give it three thumbs up. Yep. And the movie we're talking about is called The Day the 60s Died.
Now, when I just saw the title, I thought it was going to be about the whole, you know, Dennis Leary trip and how everybody was kind of like having that meat hook reality that you heard Hunter S. Thompson talk about, you know, where they're thinking that people are teaming the light at the end of the tunnel at their
Dennis Leary.
Timothy Leary. The Hunter S. Thompson quote that he was talking about, where, people realize that, you know, there really isn't some supernatural drug mysticism thing that's real. It's people just on drugs. And it kind of like was one of the reasons why the whole 60s revolution kind of fittered out was because of that whole drug culture.
People sobered up and they're like, dang.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of weird to me how the whole thing, there was so much promise in the 60s, and there was so much change, and there was so much real re-examination of old ways and looking for new ways, and to the point where people were doing anything, no matter how weird it was, as long as it wasn't Western, you know, embracing, you know, Eastern religions, Eastern clothing, Eastern mysticism, Eastern drugs, Eastern sex, but whatever. It was, they're trying new things. You got to give them some for that, but somehow, instead of turning into the like radical re-education, re-pointing of the missile of truth that should have been, it turned into Obama and Bernie Sanders. That's what came out of it, really.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sad. There's another documentary around for taking place around the same time period, the 1971 documentary. Are you familiar with that one? That's the story about the FBI break-in in Media, Pennsylvania.
No, you talked about that, though.
The Camden 28.
I didn't know there was a film.
Oh, man, it's so good. It's a really great documentary that just, and it's got, you know, that they kept the secret for like 40 years. And finally, they as like after one of the guys died, and they're like, I guess we can come forward now. And they've came forward to tell the story, and it's just incredible. It just again sheds more light on that era, and I just think it's really interesting to study how people resisted the empire back then, and to try to compare and try to learn something for how we're about how we're dealing with it today.
I thought you were going to say learn something about Howard Dean. You're going to add to my list of criminals, war criminals that are still around.
Yeah,
no relation.
Yeah, luckily for you, right?
Well, but, not that I know of. But we're going
to Jimmy Dean.
I'd take it, but I don't think so. We're going to the market for some pure pork sausage.
Great sausage, yeah.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Doc came and abducted Michael Dean, so we're all by ourselves now.
Remember that van of terrorists that pulled up and that was the libertarian ISIS, it turns out.
He's going to go get his plutonium back.
Yeah.
Yeah, today's October 21st, 2015. That's when apparently we're supposed to have hoverboards and rehydrated pizza and fax machines in every room in the house. We can only imagine a future like this. Now we only have those little stupid-looking wheels that people stand on that they call hoverboards. But at least we have big-screen TVs and cell phones now. I mean, that's better.
Let me ask you a question, Jim. If you don't believe in dehydrated pizza, have you been to 7-Eleven?
No,
he said rehydrated.
rehydrated
is the future that is yet to be realized.
That's when they took the pizza from Pizza Hut that came in a little dehydrated Mylar bag and then put it inside of the machine and it rehydrated it to a fresh hot pizza. If only.
Yeah. Oh, Mom, you rehydrate the best pizza.
This could be us, but you people aren't voting.
Vote well, you know what? America. It's the I think if you really want that, you got to go Venus Project, right? Like, Isn't that what the kind of stuff Venus Project promises?
Yeah, Bernie Sanders could never deliver these things. It's got to be Jack Fresco.
So it's got to be socialism with like cool sci-fi imagery.
Yeah,
Jim. You used to listen to my old podcast, The Panic Hour, and do you remember when that one dude quit because I slandered the Venus Project on the air, and I made fun of this dude's lifelong desire because his only wish was to go live in an Earthship with other people from the Venus Project. And I made fun of him, and he was aghast.
And he's currently waiting in line in Venezuela for
for some fried rocks.
Yeah. Some 3D printed fried rocks, have mind you.
Right, it's post-scarcity fried rocks.
Purchased with Dogecoin.
Rehydrated, 3D printed. And the Venus Project is absolutely silly. It's the most absurd thing ever. It's like, didn't it ever occur to these people, like, hey, you know, what would happen, you know, if, like, this technocratic town where all the scientists are running it, maybe if, like, the scientists were bad people, too? Like, is that a possibility? No. Science is always good and ethical, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we made the atom bomb and every piece of military equipment ever. But like somehow once you know they get their way, they're going to be omnipotent, like wonderful, loving, you know, I don't know what's the right word, demigods who are going to take care of all of us.
Well, you know, I love it when they make comparisons to Star Trek, and they're like, look, it's going to be like Star Trek. You like Star Trek, right? I'm like, well, which episode are you talking about? Return of the Archons, like where they have like that computer runs everything, and everybody's so repressed, they have that annual festival where everybody just like goes out and rapes and pillages for the night, or the one where the computer took over the Enterprise and started killing other spaceships, or every time the machine takes over in Star Trek, it's a horrible, horrible disaster.
Yeah, what about the Borgs? It will be assimilated.
Borg lives matter.
Borg lives matter.
You know, maybe, you know, there could be an opportunity here for these Venus Project people to get in on the Bernie bandwagon. Could there be like a hybrid movement of like Bernie socialism, sci-fi, Venus Project socialism?
I'm in favor of anything that I will support anything that gets the Bernie Sanders supporters on an Earth ship as quickly as possible.
Or at least on hoverboards, so we don't have to take him this seriously anymore.
How about this as a meme? Bernie Sanders, who's been altered by the Borg, okay? Like Borg Bernie, as like the ultimate like Venus Project superhero.
1% of the Borgs control 99% of the Bernies in this country.
It's not right. It's outrageous. It's outrageous.
That's not the kind of leadership we need for America. See, what I do of him, he sounds like he's possibly Indian. I don't know.
I don't see any pictures of Borg Bernie on a Google image search. I think there's a
Photoshop fortune to be made.
There's a Photoshop fortune to be made. A whole new meme to make. I mean, the Peter Joseph one, the guy who does the Zeitgeist movement where he's like a cyborg, that one went really well. Why not Bernie? He's got a bigger audience.
Yeah.
I mean, look, actually, there's some guy named Bernie Borg that just came up. Like, I got a picture of a guy named Bernie Borg.
Yeah, he's a looker.
Yeah. He doesn't even have any cybernetic implants, though.
No.
Like, yeah, it's beat.
He's got glasses. That's the best you're going to get. Oh, man.
Bernie. People are going to get mad at you I'm just telling you, like, the road ahead for he who mocks Bernie upon the internets is a rough but rewarding one. I will tell you that.
It's not for the faint of heart.
No, they're going to hate you, but it's going to be hilarious, and they're going to try to report you to being liberal.
Did they report you to the being liberal Facebook page admins?
I was reported to a Facebook page that already has me blocked. Like,
wait a minute, hold on. And suddenly your phone, which has all your meme-making apps, is stolen? And this is a coincidence, we're supposed to think?
It was the mugger was working for PolitiFact, and I have the documents.
I have the document. Oh,
because he saw that my pants were on fire. That's how he knew to mug me.
I'm thinking they're like, look, we have to confiscate the meme making weapons.
He was like, give me everything you have and stop misattributing the quotes to Bernie Sanders because he marched with Martin Luther King. That was something someone argued. They were like, yo, stop picking on Bernie Sanders. He marched with Martin Luther King, as if that happened last weekend.
Yeah. And then they'll turn around and mock Charleston Heston, right? Who also did the same thing. Yeah. Oh, but that's okay, because he works for the NRA now, and the NRA is literally the KKK. I don't
literal.
Even. Literally.
You know, I just found a meme somebody made of Rand Paul as a Borg, okay? Somebody did it for Rand, but not Bernie. Come on.
People are slacking.
Come on, Internet.
What's going to get you more clicks? Not Rand Paul. Bernie's going to get you the clicks. Make Borg Bernie.
Oh, no. It looks like Hillary is the Borg queen. Oh, my God. Oh, no.
It's a sad dystopian future that Jim Babb's currently discovering on Google Images.
No!
See, the 1%, they all have the Borg pictures, but not Bernie. Bernie needs he needs to be part of the 1% that has Borg pictures of him. And that needs to be, it needs to be equally distributed amongst all people so they can all have Borg pictures of themselves, too. This is unfair. This is immoral. And this is why we need democratic socialism for every other
major nation in the world has Borg memes for all their candidates.
And they have 30 parties. We don't need 60 different candidates. All we need is maybe two candidates.
That's just me. That's just me and Donald Trump, and I clearly win. I don't think so, tough guy. I think they're the exact same person. I think they just moonlight as each other. There's like multiple personalities disorder. And, you know, he wakes up one morning and he's Donald Trump. And then the next morning, you know, he doesn't put his wig on.
Or just Bernie combs Sanders. It the other direction and it's him.
Ow. Yeah. What means straight up instead of down.
One person that I know who saw the debates described it as, it's like watching your crazy drunk uncle debate your aunt that your mom hates.
That sounded Ooh. About right.
While three other dudes stand there and watch.
You guys didn't actually watch that debate, did you?
I did. And I actually fell asleep for like 15 minutes out of it. It like knocked me out. And then I had woke up and I was hearing Bernie Sanders talking. And I'm like, oh, man, that's not a very pleasant way of waking up.
Now, were you just
Bernie Sanders complaining that everybody's too rich?
Now, were you watching that for like work purposes to just like generate material with or?
Yeah, I was live tweeting jokes about it. I was just bored. I wanted to make some funny jokes. Because my meme machine was broken, so I had to just make jokes instead, old-fashioned way. But you know, it was entertaining for what it's worth, and it took me a few hard root beers to get me through the entire thing. But I got through it, and a nap too. But
yeah, what is it with all the drinking games that people want to do with these debates? Like, it just seems like alcohol poisoning would be quickly onset if I tried to do one of these drinking games for the debates.
Yeah. I'm glad they didn't mention the Koch brothers. I probably would have blacked out at that point. But I think that was like finish the rest of your 12-pack if they mentioned the Koch brothers. But yeah, it was absolutely terrible. And the one thing that I remember the most was that they were bragging about how much the NRA hates them and how much Republicans hate them. And they were bragging about like, oh, I made enemies with that. And then one guy who just dropped out of the race yesterday or today said that, you know, like, oh, my biggest enemy was in Vietnam and but I killed him.
Like that's weird. You know, yeah. Like
he was bragging about how many people he killed in Vietnam, which I guess he did. He killed a lot of people in Vietnam.
That's
forced to go there.
I guess that should be part of the challenge, right? Where you list the number of people that you murdered as your qualification for president, right? Like, how many people did you kill? Oh, I murdered thousands. Ooh. Well, that sounds presidential. Ooh. You know?
I murdered 10 commies. Like, there's one right there. What do you do?
You're surrounded. Right, you I'm came waiting. Back, and now you're surrounded by commies on stage. Yeah. What are you going to do now?
Good job.
Where's your rock part was now?
Was that triggering him, I wonder, to be on stage with those people?
Apparently, he backed out of the election. He's not running anymore. That was it.
Dunyans.
I'd never actually even heard of that guy, so.
Join the club. I had never heard of him either, but it was really...
Fiend phone.
He was the only one that was even remotely like not scary on stage. You know, he was actually saying like, "Oh, guns are okay." You know, like all these people here get to sit around, you know, with all these armed bodyguards, but you can't own a gun to defend yourself.
So the best part of that Vietnam movie was the Wall Street guys cheering on the hard hats beating up the hippies. All you need to know about politics, right there.
Yeah. Right on.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
About last week with Jim Beth, my friend who died, and we made fun of suicide euphemisms and cancer euphemisms because, you know, it's never too soon, as Steve Miller says for a comedian.
Never.
But I actually, so I was trying to find out how this guy really died, because they didn't say in his obituary. So I kept Googling his name, hoping new stuff would come up. And then I found something. I don't know why this bothered me so much, but I found this thing that said in 2008, he donated $200 to Barack Obama for America. And I was just like, why does that bother me? The guy's dead. Obama's elected. It doesn't make a difference. It just made me mad at my dead friend. Like, really? Dude, you used to be cool.
Wow. That's what happened?
Now you're dead and an Obama supporter.
Now you're dead, and the main record of you on the internet is that you're an Obama supporter. I know.
Now you're a dead, lying socialist, and your feet stink like decomposing corpse.
Right. It's dead. It's on par with that autoerotic asphyxiation obituary.
Right,
you know,
right,
like you just you don't want to go down that way. You just don't want to do it.
He enjoyed solo activities. Yeah, athletic. He was very athletic and enjoyed solo activities. All right, so let's move on.
Poor David.
You got something there. It's the future, isn't it?
Yeah, we're in the future.
All right.
It's back to the future day.
It's back to the future. That's you. I'm throwing to you, brother.
Jim Jesus.
Jim Jesus.
Wait, what about this? I already talked about this. I thought we were going to talk about the cops. the future of the cops.
Yeah,
he's the news story, not me. So go on. Go on with the holes.
Okay, well, there is a cop admits to posing as woman to give 60 men blank through a hole, okay? But he basically posed as a woman to perform anonymous acts upon
people. Did he actually commit the anonymous acts? That's what I want to know.
Over 60 times.
Wow. You go,
girl.
And
he had a Craigslist scam going, and he's a cop. So
I love the future.
Chesterfield, Missouri. Man, they got some nice cops in Missouri. Jesus.
You know those anti-alcohol movies they showed us when we were a kid, James? You know, like, here's an appealing fellow. They're appealing him off the pavement. You know those ones that showed, like, where they actually followed around state troopers dealing with drunk driving fatalities and showed very graphic film of it in documentary style and then showed it to little kids in school, like, you know, 8-year-olds.
I think I was spared that.
Okay, well, there was this whole collection of it. They're actually all online. If you go on YouTube and search, you know, anti-drunk driving film 50s and 60s and 70s, you'll find them. They were all made by one company. They became, like, multi-millionaires making these. And the company that originally made them, what they were doing before they were making these was helping cops film sting operations in public bathrooms with the thing you were just talking about. Like, so what goes around comes around, man.
Well, I mean, first of all, what a scam. Like, yeah, hi, I'm a woman on Craigslist, and no, I can only do this to you anonymously through a hole. Come on.
Also, don't mind the beard.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little scratchy.
Somebody should write a musical about this.
And, you know, if anyone's bothered by this, it's 3 a.m. Who are you worried about offending? There's no children up. If your children are up listening, you're a bad parent.
If you're playing children this podcast at 3 p.m. as you're driving your kids home from school, you're a bad parent.
Bad parent. Although James probably will be playing this on his way home with his kids.
You're not a bad parent playing this podcast. Bad parent because they're at a public school.
What just happened? That sounded like Steve Miller. Ooh. Miller got put in a blender. I think that was, that's how you clear it and make it sound good.
It sounded he found the hole.
You found the hole, Steve. You find the hole.
Focus and talk. Don't worry about what's happening on the other side of the glory hole.
This guy's probably going to want to transfer to Kensington.
He'll probably, like, hear us making fun of him without saying his name and successfully sue the police department for PTSD and his feels being microaggressed.
I love the future.
I don't. I've had 20 years more with than you guys, though. So. Well, than you.
Awesome documentaries on Netflix and cops doing things behind holes. I love the future. No hoverboards.
And getting microaggressed every day and being triggered.
This guy's name is David Cerna, by the way.
Thank you. It is important we give these people the proper respect. And they're trying to make that illegal.
Just, I'm wondering exactly what crimes they can come up with. Is that like, is it like rape by deception or what?